Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Proudly brought to you by our friends from Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. We say good afternoon to Phil and the gang and to the best listeners in radio out there. Want to thank our pitch hitter today, Seth Havinger, for being here. Seth, good to see you.
Good to see you. Hello, everyone.
Want to let you know that the phone lines are wide open, 424-2600, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. If you're listening on the Civic Media app, you are just a touch or two away from joining us. We look forward to talking with you. We're going to talk River Kings. We're going to talk a little Rafters. We will talk, of course, a baseball, because we've got just a day or two away
spring from training starts. Yeah.
Opening reporting going on for baseball. I want to get into some of that with you, Seth. I want to talk a little bit of the NFL Hall of Fame and the announcements of that. But, of course, we have to start with the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
That was now, we had some breaking news go on that we double-checked and triple-checked this news. It turns out Kansas City won.
They did.
They won the Super Bowl, everybody.
What a shocker.
And just this just in, Andy Reid is not upset about Travis Kelce bumping him, and you don't get to be more upset than the guy that was actually bumped. You know, just drop it.
Just drop it.
Let it go.
And it was heat of the moment thing, obviously. Yeah. I mean, it's like, come on, it's Andy Reid. We know how good he is. He's a laid-back guy, and he looked more surprised than anything else. I mean, he's like, what?
He looks as surprised as I think that if somebody waking up who had been in the, stuck in the ice for let's say 10, 15 years or whatever, not even, and you wake up and you find out that Andy Reid is one of the most won three Super Bowls and one of the most respected coaches, because he was the guy that couldn't win the game.
Yep.
And now he's not. And that's one of the beautiful arcs of sports to me.
It is.
Seeing those kind of things and seeing what can happen. One of the main focuses I want to make, Seth's got a great take I want to get to right away, but one thing I want to get to real early, when we're talking dynasties or greatest of all time, there's a lot of talk with that with the Chiefs, and are they a dynasty? Yes, three is a dynasty. Is Patrick Mahomes on the cusp or going to be the greatest of all time? Whether he is or he isn't, he's my pick. And Montana has always been my guy. Montana's always been the greatest I've ever seen. Mahomes is getting there, one, because he tied him. He can't beat Montana to me because Montana is undefeated in Super Bowls.
Right.
At the same time, as young as he is, he might. But the thing to me is, with the Patriots in that dynasty, that felt like a bunch of people that were willingly brainwashed. With this, it's so much more. If I've got a young kid and I'm telling them the team to look up to, the team to emulate or whatever, New England's got more Super Bowls. And it's also a heck of a lot less fun. And guys couldn't wait to get out of there. Everybody wants to play for Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Everybody. And Andy Reid, his whole coaching career, has done one major thing that I've never seen any other coach do as good as he has. I've got my playbook. I'm Andy Reid. I like to chuck the ball down the field. I like to have some fun out there, and I want to have a fast offense. What is my skill set? What do I got I'm working with? Yeah. Donovan McNabb. I got him, a young quarterback coming out of Syracuse. I'm going to work with his skill set.
Yeah.
I got Michael Vick. I'm going to work with his skill set. I got Alex Smith. I'm going to work with his skill set. We completely forget, if it wasn't for Andy Reid in many ways, and to credit to Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Alex Smith will be looked at as a flop.
A bust. One of the bigger busts ever, yeah.
And then Patrick Mahomes comes into the league, and I'm going to work my playbook to his skill set.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of what we've seen in 70 years of coaching, it's my way or the highway.
Yep.
I coach this way. You know what? Why that kid didn't work out? Because he's a flop. Or maybe it's because you didn't work your playbook to work to his.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's noteworthy, and that's, to me, the best thing about this championship. The best thing about Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. You had an interesting take before we get to the and we'll get to the phone calls here in a second, but you had an interesting take, Seth.
Well, I was watching the game yesterday, and I am like, this game should have been a blowout for the 49ers.
It should
have been a blowout, and it was if you don't have Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs do not win this game.
Yeah.
They do not win this game. I think part of it is the mystique he now has. And I honestly believe when you get it late in the game, the other team is thinking, how do we not lose?
Yeah.
I think they're on their heels because it's like, oh, it's Patrick Mahomes, man. We know what he does. And And then he does it. It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
As soon as it went into overtime and they kicked the field goal, then I was like, I think the Chiefs are going to win. And just because they just needed to go back down the field and score a touchdown, which is exactly what they did. And I give all the credit to the 49ers defense. Mm-hmm. They did the offensive line of the 49ers. They were running over the Chiefs defensive line. And the thing that bugs me the most, though, is what Kyle Shanahan said before the game.
Mm.
He said, I'm going to run the ball 30 times.
Yeah.
He didn't.
No.
He has the best running back in the NFL
mm-hmm.
as both a pass catcher and as a runner.
Yeah.
As a rusher.
Arguably the best offensive line in football, too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the opening of the second half, first six plays, all passes. They had the lead.
Yeah. Yeah.
They need to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, and then the overtime, choosing to accept the ball. I don't give Patrick Mahomes the last chance.
That's another great point.
Unless you know you're going to get a touchdown on that first drive, you can't mm-hmm. settle for three. I don't care if it's third and 30.
Yep.
You got to keep going for the touchdown because you can't give him just 3 points mm-hmm. to work with, and a touchdown can win it.
Right.
They were. I think Shanahan should have realized something from the Atlanta-New England Super Bowl that he was offensive coordinator for, or the last time that Kansas City did this to them when they had a lead.
Exactly.
Don't have a lead. Don't have a lead. That's all you got to do. Just let them ahead. You know, just keep it close. Yeah. Like you're following them. Like you're right. tailing them in a spy movie or right. something. You know, you want to keep it close, but don't let them have the lead. Okay, that's a bad take. But,
I was going to say.
But still, it
shouldn't have been there, though. No. San Francisco should have built up a big lead. And then and just kept running the ball and just not let Patrick Mahomes on the field.
Ironic to see what happened to Detroit happened to San Francisco in some ways.
Exactly.
Let's take some calls. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Oh, wait. Breaking news. Oh, my goodness. Taylor Swift was just on TV again.
Yes. Did you see the numbers for that? She was barely on TV.
Yeah, she was. Very short period of time.
Melissa sent me over a great article that we're going to get into tomorrow more, but it's all about like CBS, how much time CBS spent on Taylor Swift and everything else. And there's like a 5%, not even 5% of the time.
Like broadcast.
Yeah, the broadcast time was spent on her. I thought that was funny, considering how much everybody just couldn't lose their minds every time this person. I thought I was like, it used to be if you were sick of her, you were shunned. Now it's become niche. Now it's become niche to be sick of her. Now, I don't understand how this happens. I don't understand society or culture. But I
me neither.
I also don't understand how, on paper, San Francisco lost that game. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I don't. How did you feel about it, man?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, like with Seth's point, you know, I do agree a lot of times more with Seth than I do you, James.
Yeah. Understandable. You and my father.
They left points on the field. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the fumble there in the first quarter when they're in that opening drive. I mean, how often does Christian McCaffrey fumble the football?
Very rare.
I mean, to me, they lost. They gave away 7 points there because they were on the verge of scoring a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then they turn around, you know, like Seth said, they just threw the ball to start the second half. It's like, really? You know, you're letting them back in the ball game. I mean, I know the defense stopped them. They kicked that field goal, and it was 10-6 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
The play calling is just, bad. You know, and Green Bay gave everybody the blueprint on how to play Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. I mean,
when they beat him, how do you not put a spy on Patrick Mahomes at all? I mean, you got great linebackers on that. I mean, you almost can call. It's my opinion is you almost can call San Francisco, instead of like how you got Penn State called linebacker U.
Yeah,
I mean, you have it right there in San Francisco too. They have some great linebackers. Why wouldn't you have a spy on him? And I know Bosa tried to do his best by keeping him inside the box.
Mm-hmm. And he made some great plays. Bosa was just a maniac on the field.
That defense is one of the most stellar defenses any of us have seen.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Warner, their linebacker, and I'm not trying to give a take here. I'm not trying to be controversial. Fred Warner is a predator. That's not a human being.
Oh, yeah.
That's a predator. Has anybody seen him in the offseason? In the offseason, he's literally hunting human beings. He is a predator. He is not from this world. That man is amazing. That is one of the most impressive football players I've ever seen in my life. That guy alone should be watching Patrick Mahomes 24-7. I couldn't agree with you more, man. And they've got a good defense. They've got a good defensive coordinator. I think that's why Seth's point is so strong to me. And one thing that I wanted to add on to that, along with the guys that play hard, the teams that are known for roughneck football, the Detroit Lions, San Francisco, even Philly to a degree, it's great in the regular season, and it's really good, and it's football that most of us traditionalists and all that love and everything, but it's a different game now. When the Bears and teams like that used to play that way, it was a 16-week season, and the playoffs were two rounds. Like, it was so different.
Right.
By the time he got to the Super Bowl, Deebo Samuel was a shell of himself. He was taken out of the game like three times.
Yep.
That's one of the best players in the NFL. And most of the time, he gets that slant, and he's taking it at least 20 yards. He looked like he could barely get out the cut. And there was a couple of things like that in this game that, look, I'm not playing a violin or making excuses by any means for them, because Kansas City played just as many games and plays a pretty hard style of football too, but not as hard. I don't know if the future of the NFL, you can play that way anymore. I don't know if you can keep doing that to these guys unless you have depth beyond belief.
Exactly. Yeah, unless you have someone who can at least step in, maybe not be as good, but at least fill it competently.
That Greenlaw situation was one of the most heartbreaking things I've ever seen in football. Yes. And I don't even, I mean, I like the kid, but it's not like I'm a San Francisco guy or anything.
No.
Heck, I was rooting for Kansas City. but I that was heartbreaking to see that. I felt bad for that guy. Like, all he was doing was what we've seen every single player do our whole lives, going back to, like,
onto the field. Corner, yep.
Just bouncing, waiting to get out there and everything.
Mm. Well, guess what? That wasn't turf. That was a grass field.
Yeah, that's
so, you know, come on. You know, so it's going to happen no matter what. Someone's Achilles. I mean, these guys, as much legwork as these guys do, and how strong these guys' legs are, you're going to have hamstring issues because their legs are going to be so tight, and you're going to have Achilles heels issues.
But it's more likely to happen on turf. It's more likely to happen on turf, though. They have to change that. That rule has to change. The owners are going to show you this in the winter meetings coming up, how much they care more about money or the game. They're going to show you, and I think we all know the answer already, but they're going to show you, they're going to make it evident now. No more hiding behind words. They're going to show you with their dollars. They're going to show you with their vote. If they don't agree that every NFL stadium should have the same grass and the right grass and all that, and spend the money on it and everything, like they don't want to do, like Mr. Woody Johnson doesn't want to do, Mr. Johnson & Johnson, everybody should feel sorry for him and have to spend money and everything. They don't want to do that. They don't care about these players. They don't truly care about safety, and they don't care about you fans. And that's every owner. That includes Green Bay, that includes Detroit, Chicago, Minnesota, all of our teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, then you got to, yeah, but if you take it to the NFL, then you're going to take it to the universities, and then you're going to take
then
it to high schools.
Well, then they got to do it. They're doing it in soccer right now. They're doing it. They realize they've got young ladies that are dealing with cancer right now because of the asbestos fields they were playing on and everything. Like, they're doing it in soccer. They could do it in the NFL. Soccer certainly doesn't have the money that the NFL does.
No, they can do it.
And the NFL, if they wanted to make right here, if they wanted to do like a good public service, which I don't know that they necessarily ever care about because they don't have to, but if they really wanted to, they could do what baseball and hockey has done. Hey, small town that doesn't have have a rink, doesn't have a field. We'll do that. We'll do it. You can't pay for that kind of PR. NFL, you really want women to watch your sport? Forget about the bedazzled jersey, okay? They don't care about that. They don't care about the pink bedazzled jersey. They want their children to be able to play the game safely. You want young men to play the game? You want kids to play Pop Warner football? Have a safer game and on the field. Like, there's only so much you can do. I'm not expecting, it's a gladiator sport.
Right.
You're never going to make it completely safe. But there's certain stuff you can do. And having a playing field? Like, having a not play on concrete. That seems like I don't know. Of all the takes I may ever have in my life, I feel like that's the safest one I could have.
Well, I mean, I understand. I mean, I guess we're gonna, you know, agree to disagree on that one a little bit, but Do they? I don't know. I guess I'm mixed on the whole thing. I mean, mm-hmm. if you're going to get injured at any level or any field, you're going to get injured. You made that choice. I mean, it'd be just like me. You know, when I played football in high school, I mean, that's the farthest I got. I mean, I made the choice to play football. I mean, I actually got more injured playing sandlot football than I did playing high school football.
Oh, I agree with that. I don't necessarily mean any of this like people should feel sorry. I mean, everybody's doing this willingly. You know, it's a very similar thing. It is not the same thing, but it's very similar to some jobs in life where we ask people to take a certain job and to do certain things, and they chose that job. They chose to do it. We can still have empathy for it. You could do two things at once. You can chew gum and walk at the same time.
Right.
I think you can still, you know, want these, especially how much entertainment we get out of this. We don't have necessarily some responsibility in this, but I think empathetically we do in the sense of like what I just said about the Greenlaw situation and things like that.
Right.
You don't have to go send him get well soon card or anything. But I think in your own mind, in your own heart, you can have some empathy for the man in the situation.
Well, and then at the same time, you have to include the owners in that, too, because they are the one. I mean, they can if they can walk away and sell the team.
Yep.
They're part of this, too. And this is good for them. Keep your best players on the field. Yeah. You know, the best you can to get them on the field so people will come and watch them.
You know, I mean, I get that. And you know, I do feel bad for Greenlaw. I mean, that just because now it almost to the point as he got hurt now. Is he going to be able to play next season?
Yeah.
That's
tough.
That's rough.
You know, like the same, you know, someone tears their knee up, tears the ACL. I mean, last game of the year, I mean, are they going to be able to play next season? It's stuff like that that does – it sucks. I mean, you feel bad for the guy, but – you know, like you said, you put themselves in that position, but
to bring it back to the game.
But did that affect the game at all with him being out?
It's hard. It's overtime rule situation. I'm curious between you two, between our listeners out there, 424-2600. Please feel free to call and join the conversation. Did you guys know the rules of overtime? Because I knew him only because I remember it being a big story the last time this came up in the Super Bowl. And I felt like it was such a well-covered story because it was the NFL and it was a big deal and all that. I just remember that the story. And I haven't really thought about it probably since. But I vaguely remember. And I'll admit that I care way more than I probably should about sports and pay more attention than I probably should and all that. But I only have so much bandwidth, and I really hadn't thought much about it. The fact that there were NFL players and coaches that were not 100% sure.
That's a little... concerning.
I feel like that's not just it's kind of easy to say that's a failure on coaching. It is, but it's also a failure on being an adult. Like, know your job.
Yes.
You've got a certain list of things to know. And I am not making light of what it is to be an NFL player.
Oh, no.
If you're a third string offensive lineman and the stuff that you've got to know,
you got to know lots of stuff.
But you get paid a lot of money to play a kid's game. Come on, man. I mean, you got to know these things. I have no sympathy for that. No empathy for that at all. As a fan, sure. If you didn't know, that's fine. I don't expect everybody to know that at all. The people in the room I was with didn't know necessarily. But as a player, that's a bad look. If that happened to me, I ain't telling nobody. That's between me and God. That's it.
You know, but the thing is, though, when it comes to these overtime rules in the NFL, I'm sorry if I take the ball first in overtime. And I score, it's over. What happens in hockey?
Yeah.
You score, it's over. Baseball, if you score on the top of the top half of the inning, the home team has a chance to win. But it's over. I mean, I just give the opposite team to have a chance to score. I mean, if they score a touchdown, it's over. But if I kick a field goal, it's not over. I just scored points. They didn't stop me.
I like the old time rules. Yeah, I'm with you. I like the old time rules. But as it is and how it is now, I will admit it was awfully exciting. I will admit, too, what I wanted to have happen that last couple of drives, actually all happened. I wanted San Francisco to only score three. They did. Then I wanted KC to only score three to tie it to go to overtime. And then I wanted Kansas City to win.
That's exactly what happened.
As a fan, I got everything I wanted. I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. I thought it was exciting and fun.
See?
But I'm with you, man. I think it would have been just as exciting had whoever got the only thing I don't like, though, is the whole season coming down to a coin toss.
That's why I like the new rules better.
Yeah,
I like the way they do it now. That's what bothered me the most, was it has to come down to a coin flip.
It's
and that
tough.
Really, that bugs me. That really bugs me.
Because I also see the side of it where if you don't want them to score, stop them.
Right.
I get that too, you know. But if you want it to be that way, then we got to go back to the old rules in football. Because the way that the rules have been skewed for offenses is insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. Andy Reid got closer. What he did to Chris Jones is more than Chris Jones did to Brock Purdy in that game. If you saw Andy Reid fall on Chris Jones as they were celebrating... Like, he was all over him. And that was more physical than you saw any defensive lineman do to a quarterback in that game.
Right. Yeah.
Well, if they don't come down on a coin flip, let's start out as a rugby style.
Yeah. The XFL
Whoever gets the ball at that point, then you got the ball. Instead, you're not worried about the coin flip.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, if it comes down on a coin flip I don't know. I mean, things could have been different.
Yeah.
If it would have been the Packers in there, and all of a sudden, they didn't win the flip, and the Kansas City went down and scored one, that was on the defense for not stopping them. I mean, I don't know.
Then Kansas City's defense did stop them, and then they were able to score the touchdown. So that's still held.
Yeah, and I think that only proves your point, sir. I think that what Kansas City was able to do. Now, mm-hmm. they did get in the field goal, would have won the Super Bowl. San Francisco would have won the Super Bowl mm-hmm. on that field goal if it was the old rules. But to I think everybody's point overall, I think nobody's wrong here. I think everybody kind of wants the same thing, to see a great offense and the great defense mm-hmm. match up, and when two unmovable forces collide, what happens?
Yep,
all on the line, everything right here. You know, no clock, just one drive. One, two drives. That's it, and we decide everything. It's kind of exciting. That's kind of fun too. I don't know that that you have a wrong answer here, because I think that they're it could work either way.
Yeah,
you know, it is what it is. They ain't changing it because of us. That's for sure.
No, they're not.
Always appreciate the time, sir.
I'm going to get back to your point about the dynasty thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, in today's football or today's sports world, can you really have a dynasty now? Because what's going to happen after this year? I mean, San Francisco and Kansas City both have salary issues.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So can you build a dynasty?
I think that the terminology...
Yeah.
I think the term has changed. I think when we were kids, what a dynasty was four, a completely dominant, four straight. It wasn't this, best 3 out of 5 year kind of thing or nothing.
Yeah.
And to your point, I agree with you, that's kind of where it is, as it is now, where we've lowered our standards on what a dynasty is, I think. Right. I don't think it's the traditional of what a dynasty was when we were young, or even when our parents were kids, and the Steelers and the Dallas. And that kind
If you look at the 70s and who were dominating the teams then, Pittsburgh and Dallas.
With salary caps and injuries and egos and all these different things in sports nowadays, I don't know if you will ever see anything like that again. I think it's all the more impressive what Kansas City has done and what San Francisco has done. Mm-hmm. I know that I don't know, history remembers these things differently. I look back at those Buffalo Bills teams, and the last word that comes into my mind is loser.
Oh, no.
The last thing I think of Jim Kelly or Thurman Thomas or Andre Reed or any of those guys is losers.
They did something no other team has ever done.
Yeah.
They got to four straight Super Bowls.
I mean,
no one has ever done that since or before then.
You're still AFC champs. Like,
yes.
It's still impressive.
Absolutely.
It isn't everything. It's not as impressive as those Niner or Dallas teams or
of course,
something, but it's still impressive. Mm-hmm. I think what San Francisco has done in the last 4 or 5 years is impressive.
I agree.
Is pretty, especially with not everybody has to be a genius. You just don't have to quit calling him a genius. Quit throwing those kind of things around.
Yeah.
Let him win something, and then maybe you can go ahead and do
that. There you go.
Thanks for the time, sir.
All right, guys. You have a great day.
You too.
You too. Have a good week.
Yeah. I think we have exhausted the Super Bowl now.
I think so.
Have we gotten through everything there? We did. Till next year.
We have to. As a sports show, we have to talk about the Super Bowl when we come back.
Let's make our first predictions. Let's see. For who's going to be in the Super Bowl next year. I'm going to go way out on a limb here. Hmm. I'm going to say it's going to be the Lions versus the Chargers.
Oh, nice. I like that. Oh, I like that. That's a good one. Ooh, that's good. I'm going to go.
Jim Harbaugh is that good.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Lions and Jacksonville. Just because. No reason whatsoever, but because predictions are that ridiculous.
Yes, yes.
And because we're seeing them already, including in Vegas, that already had the odds of San Francisco going and winning the Super Bowl next year. It's great. That's good. Does that make you feel better if you're a 49er fan or player? You're on the long plane home and you're feeling horrible, one of the worst games of your life or something like that. You're looking at the odds for next year like,
A little silver lining.
We will take a timeout. We'll come back with the fourth period. We've got coach and GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Paul Peckman, joining us coming up on Playmakers right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to Playmakers, the show inside the show, the fourth period. Welcome to the show, where we have Seth with us, of course, and we want to welcome to our WFHR lock or rink. We have coach and GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Paul Peckman. Coach, good to see you. Thanks for being here.
It's more like a locker in here right now than the rink, though.
It does kind of have a locker room feel, as it is hot in here.
Sun's coming in.
Yeah.
We got excited about these studios when we first saw them, and there was a couple of things we did not see. This was one of them. The sun beat right
the afternoon
on us
sun.
Here.
Yeah.
No way you could play hockey in here. No way. We are excited about talking hockey with you, Coach, especially after the weekend we had. Nice games for the team. Let's start right there with the scores. Taking on the Outlaws this weekend. Two back-to-back nice games. I had to double-check because it's 5-1 on Friday and 4-1 on Saturday. To double-check that I was seeing that right. Mm-hmm. That was just a repeat page there. Those are great. If you guys don't mind, I just want to spend a second to talk about the Fresno Monsters and Long Beach Shredders. Did you see the score of this game?
No, I didn't see that.
Friday night, 24-1.
What? Oh.
I have not seen many scores in hockey
before. Brutal,
that's a
man.
Tough one. I shout out to the Shredders. It is a tough season. It is tough playing this game, and good on them for finishing that game, playing as well as they did in those circumstances, because that's a tough game.
Man, the other week when the River Kings scored 9,
yeah,
I was like, wow, that's a lot of goals. That's, oh my God.
It's a tough one. Coming into this weekend, Coach, a lot of momentum for the team, and I would think feeling pretty good coming off of the last couple of games, win or lose. How was it in the locker room for you? What was the vibe of the players for you going into Friday's game?
Going into Friday's game? We understand where we're at, and we control our own destiny. I mean, if we continue to win, we win a division. So with the games that we have in line with us, it's game by game. Focus on what's ahead of you right now and take care of business. And I think we did that pretty well.
Saw Hudson lost on Friday. Yeah. So that certainly helps in the standings and what you're talking about. Solidifying more and more that second place spot, that's great. Yeah. We do have a chance at that number one seed. Yeah. As I saw the guys the other day, to me, one of the things that I enjoy is the excitement and the pure joy that this team has and that you and your coach, your staff even have. It's infectious. But what I saw about these kids last Friday was just a focus. Like, they're locked in. Yeah. Is that even in practice? Are you seeing that, where they're just locked in like that?
Sometimes.
Give and take.
Sometimes. They may be listening. It's a grind, right? So, yeah. It's a grind. So, this is the January, February, coming back from the breaks, right? Sometimes you lose the momentum that you built. Mm-hmm. So getting them back, this is where we're at. This is where we need to go. We can't afford certain things. And so that's the hard part is, they're teenagers, right? So keeping them focused and making them understand what the goal is here, right? And always referring back to the beginning of the year. What do we say? What are our goals? Where do we want to be? Can't lose sight of that. Got to stay focused. Got to keep working hard. So we try to do that, and some guys get it more than others. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to pull everybody in the same direction here, and I think we're doing a pretty good job.
Motivation's always been confusing to me, and putting motivation on another person is interesting to me. if I'm a player, and I've never played at a high level by any means, and I'm not Al Bundy, I don't think that I did, but I watched a lot of it, and I saw a lot of it from a third point of view. And one thing that I always saw, I never saw, like, in my dad or any of the guys he played with, that they needed to be motivated. Like, they were motivated. They wanted to play this game. They were driven. They were there. It's motivation is one thing, but it's to be focused on things is difficult for anybody, especially a young mind and everything. They may have the energy. They may be, you know, as far as wanting it and everything, that's there. But to get them to lock in, that's got to be difficult, I imagine.
It is. It is. And that's why, you know, we have our player one-on-one meetings every week, right? And we talk about certain things, and we're watching the prior weekend, right, or these games this weekend. So, and it's just reminding and talking about certain things and making sure we're doing the things that we need to do, which is the core is the D-zone structure and all that stuff and protecting our house and make sure nobody gets to the net, right? And so, and everything stems from there. So as long as we stay focused on that, we have enough guys that are creative offensively, let's just make sure we keep the puck away from our net. And everything comes from there, right? So it's just reminding guys now. It's not harping. It's not, you know, we're not yelling and screaming as much, right?
So,
now it's about either you get it or you don't. We just signed two guys coming in. So we have a guy from the NCDC that will be joining us in Chicago this week.
Yeah.
And then we just a Minnesota high school kid. And then we have, you know, we have five injuries right now that top five guys.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So that's just tough to fill at this time of the year, right? So.
Wanted to talk to you about that. Both the not only the injury, but the players coming in. The injury, how that affects the team, the staff, and how he's doing, and certainly how these new players are going to go. Because we know so much of hockey is chemistry. So much of hockey is trust and trusting the guy next to you and all that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the guys that we're bringing in are one of them is from the NCDC, a higher level, right, who happens to be a good friend of Will Comps. They've been playing together since they were 8 years old.
Right on.
So obviously he's going to slide right into that spot, and then we're going to move certain guys around to, you know, give us more depth and still have chemistry on each line and continue to be strong. This Minnesota kid is a very, very good hockey player, so he'll fit in nicely. And the deadline here is about an hour or two, so we'll see if we got one more guy.
But right up.
You know, Bagnall got a back concussion, so he's back in Chicago seeing a neurologist, and I'm hoping that everything's okay with him.
Yeah.
Atkins has a broken hand right now, so I have no idea how long he's going to be out.
Yeah.
David Chemi, was our leading scorer most of the season, has just been released because his visa expires.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So he's got to go back. And, you know, we lost Varga and we lost Hill. And, I mean, these are all top scorers.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Now it's crunch time. And with what we have on the line, you got to fill those spots. And so hopefully, and I think with the guys that we have, you know, when guys get hurt, get sick, do stupid stuff, right? What does that do? It creates opportunity for the other guys that have been busting their butts all year long. Here's your opportunities. And some guys like Caden Schweitzer and Dan Upton and Hogan McNeish, all these guys are stepping up to the plate here and playing good minutes. And you can start seeing the progression here, which is that's the development. And we've had times, we've had conversations in December and November and January about it, you know, coach. You know, where do you see me, or this or that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, just keep working. Right? Yeah. Don't give up. Just keep working. You know, when your number's called, you got to be ready, right? Mm. And some of these kids are responding, and everybody on their team notices it, and that's encouraging, right? I mean, you can see the difference, not just me, but them, right? And then you get games like that where in the mullets where you win 9-2, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, those guys, and Luke Gruder is another kid who's coming along nicely. Those four guys had each of them had 3-4 points, right? So you start to get, now you get everybody going in the same direction here, right? And it's exciting. And that's what helps in practice.
Yeah.
Right? Well, you got everybody chipping in. Well, yeah. Now they get, all of a sudden, they get a little jump in the step, and it makes it a little more competitive, a little more energy, and a little more fun. Right?
That confidence, we're going to need that. We're going to need that going forward, not only in the playoffs, but this coming week here. We got these games going to Chicago, as you mentioned there. What do you... Here, actually, a first question before that, Coach, because if I'm looking at the schedule right here, we got four games left in the regular season. We got these two games you're going to be taking on against the Chicago Crush on the 14th and the 15th this week. And then on the 23rd, 24th, we get to take on Hudson, and we're going to their rink to take them on in their home. Hudson, for those that don't know, if you should, you should know, Hudson's ahead of us in the rankings. This is a great opportunity for us to possibly take that number one spot if things play out the way we'd like them to and everything.
Right.
That's a lot on the line, and it plays out perfectly. Whether you're a Hudson or a River King fan, you got to be excited about that.
Yeah.
How do you keep them focused on Chicago and the Crush and not looking ahead at Hudson? I'm always curious about that in sports and coaching. We talk about that, oh, they were caught looking ahead or something like that, if there's any truth to that or not. Or.
Well, yeah, I mean, you talk about it a lot. Listen, let's take care of business and what's ahead of us, right? Mm-hmm. Because that weekend doesn't mean anything if we screw up this weekend, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. you got to take care of business. And, you know, playing in the middle of the week, I'm not a big fan of, right?
Yeah,
so
there's
not a lot of time.
Short break, too, yeah.
It's not a lot of time. But on the flip side of that, it gives us more time to prepare for Hudson. So, mm-hmm. you know, it depends,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So the Crush is a team that has beaten us already once. In overtime.
Yeah.
So if we're not careful, you know, we'll get bit here and it'll affect us against Hudson. So we got to take care of business. And I think with the guys coming in that I mentioned, you know, Goodwin is the kid that we'll pick up in Chicago. So he'll help fill that spot for Bags. And I think we'll be okay.
Yeah. Any other news or anything else that you want to make sure the audience and the fan base hears going into these next couple of games? Again, the River Kings taking the ice in just a couple of days here on Valentine's, take on the Chicago Crush in Sweet Home Chicago.
Yeah.
Did I say that? Did I show my bias right back here?
Dude, you're wearing a Blackhawks jersey. Come on.
And I'm wearing it in part because the Blackhawks got the next Winter Classic, but also because you guys are going to Chicago and I'm trying to support the Kings here. But I am such a dang homer. I'm so sorry. I apologize. Yeah, what is anything on your top of your mind, Coach, or anything you wanted to touch on? We didn't get a chance to.
Well, no, you know, I mean, when we go down to Chicago, I will mention this. We're going to stay an extra night. And we're going to play outdoors Thursday
awesome.
Night. So we're going to do that blue white inner squad
thing. Yeah.
We're going to play outdoors Thursday night and have some fun. Let the boys
awesome.
Enjoy the city and enjoy that. And then we'll have a long weekend off and we'll get back at it for Hudson. But, you know, the locker room situation is the thing that we're working on and we're getting close to. Came up with another option. So we're talking to a few people here. It's still in the rink, but just different. Location, stuff like that.
You know, we talked about that off air, so I don't want to put you on the spot with it, but thank you for bringing that up, and it is encouraging to hear. You know, because we want our Kings to not only stay here, but to thrive here, and we want to give you and your team as many recruiting opportunities and advantages as we can, and that's some of the stuff that we can do with this. The River Kings have a fundraiser going on right now. They have had our back so many times. Let's show that we have theirs and help them build hockey up and down the river. Look at more. Get your tickets at riverkingshockey.com. RiverKingsHockey.com, and we'll have another fourth period coming up real soon. Thanks for joining us, Coach. Have fun this weekend. Safe travels. Say
it.
Hello
Thanks.
To Chicago for me. Enjoy yourselves, okay?
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
You got it.
Seth and I will be right back with more Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Be sure to be joining us on the morning show on Wednesday. Phil Hartley will join us with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Wicked Awesome.
Looking forward to that.
Wicked
That's
little
be
critter.
Awesome. And Phil and the gang over at Quality Plus have a brand new business going on over there.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking more about that with them on Wednesday and coming up on our shows here.
Mm-hmm.
I think we might have some fun stuff on the way.
That's
Keep
right.
Keep on listening. We, of course, got fun stuff coming up in spring with your Rapids River, your Rafters coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited for Rafter baseball. And for those that are on the Rafters messaging, mailing list.
Yeah.
Mailing list. Think of mail. My God. It's Super Bowl week.
Yeah, your brain is gone.
Yeah. The Rafters are seeking host families for this for the 2024 season. Mm-hmm. Just a reminder to everybody out there, they have a meet and greet coming up that we're looking forward to not only them doing, but them having. Mm-hmm. If you are interested and would like to be a part of things, give them a call at 424-5400. That'll get you in touch with their front office, or go to rafterbaseball.com to find out more. A couple of our longtime callers have done this and talked so highly of it.
Yeah, sounds like a really cool experience.
Really appreciate not only the families that are going to do this year, but families that have done it in the past. I genuinely 100%. Appreciate you. We don't get these players without those host families.
They need to live somewhere.
Yeah, we greatly appreciate them. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about out there, 715-424-2600. It's your show, everybody. But right now, I do want to shift gears a little bit to baseball.
Woo! Yeah, Super Bowl's over. Done football. No more. Out of my brain.
It's kind of what we do, right? I mean, all the other sports get our focus now that football's done.
Yep.
There is a handful of things to know about the Pat Murphy era starting for the Brewers. I want to get into some of that. First, let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the show. Good afternoon. It was good.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hey, how's it going?
Calling up with a fun stat for you again.
Yes.
All right.
Stat of the show.
Everybody knows Jamie Moyer, the pitcher, the pitch forever.
Mm-hmm.
In his career, he faced 1,700 batters, 1,700 different batters, and in Major League Baseball at that time, there had only been 19,000. So he pitched against almost 9% of all batters at that time.
Jeez.
Over 25 years.
That's amazing. That's a heck of a stat. I love that.
I love stats I hear. I have no idea what to do with. Like, you just wrinkled my brain. You just like
10% of all at the time, all major leaguers had been in the league. I mean, that's just nuts.
What do you do with something like that, man? This is incredible. Thank you so much for sharing that, man. That's a great
one. I love Jamie Moyer. He's one of my favorite pitchers.
That's a fun one. Oh, he's loved a good him. Player. Good yep. player. Good fun player to watch.
You're getting into baseball, and I'm really excited about the Brewers this season. It sounds like they're kind of coming around. They might be a formidable opponent, but what I'm really concerned with is I think we need another dog. And I think we should have another dog. I think we should have a corn dog in the race.
the corn dog would be a good one. Yeah.
How do they not have a corn dog?
Yeah.
Corn dog. I think that it'll be a grassroots campaign. We need a corn dog.
It starts today. I'm with you. I'm 100% with you.
We need the corn dog.
This.
And yes. We need a name too for the corn dog too.
Gonna need a name. Gonna need a name.
Corny? No, that's dumb. Corny the corn dog.
It's not bad, though. Hey, there are no bad ideas.
That's not true, and you know it.
Yeah,
there are bad ideas.
There's a lot of them in radio, too. Thanks for the call, brother. Good to hear from you. You have a great week.
Yep, bye now.
424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation.
Oh, that's a great stat. Oh, my gosh.
That was a good one. Stat of the show. What is the first date that the full squad workouts for the Brewers is going to be February 20th, coming up in just a week.
Oh, yeah.
But the first official workout is this Thursday.
Mm, yep.
You don't have to go,
but a lot of guys still show up for that. Yeah.
Looking at some new faces for the Brewers, I think pretty understandable. Reese Hoskins is the big name that a lot of people are talking about. But I do think that Gary Sanchez is an interesting signing for them. Solidifying, who couldn't use two good catchers?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really nice move by them. He's got some leg left in him.
Yeah, he does. Defensively, he's a little bit on the negative side. But he still has a good arm. And his bat, man, you can use him as a DH.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably would have to carry a third catcher, but man, the season he had last year, out of nowhere, he had a really nice season, and I think that's a really smart pickup for them. It's one of those low risk, high reward possibilities for the Brewers, especially at I almost called it Miller Park, Amfield.
Yeah, I hear you. It's not exactly the biggest. You're not going to find a ton of material out there, but if you're interested and you want to get excited, I think you look at the highlights of Joey Ortiz. You look at some of the other young man that. they're bringing up the number two pick.
I can't remember his name.
Jackson Churio.
Very kid. Exciting young player.
Woo.
Yeah.
Woo. Like you want to feel better about the Corbin Burns situation or any of these things? Yeah. And I think that we're forgetting too the resurgence of Christian Yelich.
Yes, good year last year. Yeah.
Seeing maybe him coming into this year and seeing more that being the norm for the rest of his career or whatever.
How about some of the other youngsters that had their first taste of the big leagues last year? The hope is they only get better. They keep going and going. Yeah.
I'm not making light of Burns and Woodruff.
Woodruff, yeah.
Great team. They had a great run together, mm-hmm. and it was a lot of fun. But again, it's sports, all right? So yeah. I'm just being honest. What did you win with them? You know, I mean, are you going to miss him as a fan? Sure.
Yep.
Did you like him on your team? Sure. Were they good guys? I'm not talking about them as human beings.
Right.
Them as human beings, I'd have a beer with both of them any day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as what you had in them and losing them, yeah, it sucks because you knew them. It sucks because they were pretty good and you knew them.
Mm-hmm.
That'll happen again.
Yep.
It happened before that. There's been tons of players that it's tough to lose.
Yep.
We move on. And without them, even last year, you were in it and you won the Central and mm-hmm. all that. Like, I, if I'm a Brewers fan, I'm not looking at a rebuild here. I'm not. And I don't think, and not for nothing either, Pat Murphy's not walking in there at his age to be a guy who's going to win 10 games. Like,
no.
you think Pat yep. Murphy, a guy who's wanted this his whole life?
His first chance to manage, yep.
What he's going to do?
Mm-hmm.
What he's going to, like, forget, like, because we already know that management and all that has pretty much shown, hey, we're trying to win. We want to win.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they've given you a sign of otherwise, necessarily. You know, arbitration is arbitration.
Right.
Everybody's trying to save a buck. I'm not going to begrudge somebody for that. And you can't do anything about guys not wanting to sign with you. You can offer them the moon. If they don't take it, they don't take it.
Mm-hmm.
They've shown to me that they want to win. I think that they got the most they could out of the Burns deal.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we know all of the things that were offered, but I think that they've earned the trust.
They were smart enough to do it. I think it's interesting. I can see the Brewers doing pretty much what the Diamondbacks did last year. Mm. A lot of young players.
Yeah.
Speed. The yeah. Brewers have that. They have a little bit of power now, too, with Rhys Hoskins. That helps. A big right-handed bat. That's going to be nice. So The only downside is their pitching isn't as good as Arizona's was last year.
Yeah.
At least to start of the year, we don't know where it's going to go from here because they don't have the young pitchers that Arizona did. But look at what Arizona did to those pitchers in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, yeah.
They hit a whole bunch of home runs. These young guys playing with just a lot of enthusiasm. I mean, they're skilled, yes, but a lot of enthusiasm, you know? They're too dumb to realize, yeah, you're not supposed to do that. And when you're this young, you know, you're not supposed to go to the World Series and beat the Phillies. You're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Well, they did it. The Brewers can do that. They've got a core of players that I think they can do that with.
MLB.com has a article predicting where the top six remaining free agents will sign.
Mm.
And they call these the big four. And then I saw the names and I was like, wow. It's nothing against these players. They're great players. We would want any of them on our team.
Yeah.
But they would. Talk about overselling. Like Cody Bellinger. I like Cody Bellinger a lot. I think he's awesome. I think he's a great player. That, like, big name. Like, come on.
Maybe a couple years ago when he was like MVP, Cody Bellinger. The weird thing about his season, I think this is the reason why there's not been a lot of teams. He had a great season last year. But it was all wonky with the underlying metrics. He was not hitting the ball that hard.
Yeah.
But he was still hitting home runs, and he was still getting on base and stealing bases. It was one of the most bizarre seasons I think I've ever seen recently.
Very strange. I agree. I think I saw what you saw in that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very curious to see where Blake Snell goes. Now, that I do think is a big name, if only because where he goes is probably going to be he's either going to go for money, which I don't blame him.
Not at all.
He's going to go to a team where he's going to be another ace. He's mm-hmm. going to be another guy that can, you know, maybe win a ring. I don't know. I don't believe he hasn't won a ring. So
No. Yeah. He was in the World Series with the Rays in 2020.
But I'm seeing that the Angels, Giants, Yankees, Phillies, Blue Jays, Mariners, Brewers, and Orioles are all in the running for him. So we'll see where that ends up.
Two big lefties, him and Montgomery, Jordan Montgomery, the other who's
another big one.
Last year he had his year coming out party last year, especially in the playoffs. He pitched so well for the Rangers.
Yeah.
And wherever he ends up, he's going to get paid. He is going to get paid. A left-hander like that? Are you kidding me?
Montgomery might be even more. That's a great call, man. I was all focused on the Snell thing. You're right. Montgomery may even be a better piece to add than Snell.
He's younger too.
Yeah. That's. I'm excited to see where the handful of these guys go and where the MLB season goes. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about the whole thing with the Dodgers. I don't look at them as the Sith Lords or, you know, the Empire or anything like
that.
That's
always the Yankees for me. So yes. I don't care how much the Dodgers spend.
I think it's more of that.
Yeah.
Wanted to wrap up, unless you callers want to take us any other direction, 424-2600. Congratulating the 2024 class of the Football Hall of Fame.
Oh, yes.
I got a bunch of messages from our listeners. Gotta love you guys right away. Hey, James, what are you going to do now?
About Devin Hester anymore.
I got a week out of that, like a half a season. Meanwhile, there's the Jerry Kramer fans out there that had to wait decades for him to get in
right,
and stuff.
Yeah.
So I understand what I'm saying there. But I'm happy for Devin Hester. I'm very, very happy for Steve McMichael and his family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that he was alive to at least see and acknowledge it. God, it feels so much for him and what Mongo's family's going through. But what I was so focused on those two, what I didn't think about, congratulations to the whole class. If you didn't hear, Dwight Freeney, Patrick Willis, very deserving. Mm-hmm. Andre Johnson, great wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
Julius Peppers. Julius Peppers getting into the Hall of
Fame.
Boy,
was he good.
He was dang good.
Ugh.
He got lost in the memory shuffle for me.
Dwight Freeney was the other guy.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I forgot how good he was, man.
And I loved watching Julius Peppers play. Whether it was Carolina, Chicago, Green Bay, wherever he played, I loved watching him play. And seeing his family and seeing the knock. To me, seeing one of the best things the NFL has done is showing us the knock. When they get that call, when one of their friends has got that gold jacket on and they're coming to the door to tell them that they got just made it into the Hall of Fame, that never gets old to me.
I
don't care if it's corny or anything like that. I enjoy it every time.
I have to give the NFL credit over baseball because you just get a phone call in baseball. Yeah. I love that better. That's
it's
way
so
cooler.
It's so personal.
It's
so heavy. It is so there's only 300 and some players that are in the Hall of Fame out of the thousands of they do so good job.
That's awesome.
Of it. And congratulations to them. It's cool to see. And
go to the Hall of Fame, everybody. I was there last 2 years. It's awesome.
It's just a couple hours. It's not that far.
It's in Ohio. It's not that far away.
Go check that out. And check out Seth Faces the Music this Sunday and Trail Tunes this week. Seth, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate the time.
Not a problem. I enjoy sports too, James. I enjoy the sport. It's very nice.
If you enjoy the sport too, join us next week for more Playmakers right here at...
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.